Back on the field here with Robert Drummond from the NFL, Syracuse, and also the CFL, here with Dan Tatora on WakeUpCallDT.com. We had a lot of things to talk about, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, obviously the NFL playoffs, and then all of a sudden, here comes Coach Marone with making a decision to rise to the NFL himself. And first and foremost, being a friend of Doug's, what do you have to say?
You know, honestly, I mean, it's until it's a proven deal, you know, we don't know, so it's all speculation right now, but from what we're hearing, you know, it's a done deal. But you know what, I bleed orange, but I also play with Doug, and as I look at the situation, it's like, you know, we're not in the heads of Doug Marone. I mean, I always tell anybody in any situation in life, you know what, take care of your family first, take care of yourself first. Would I have loved for him to stay at Syracuse? Yes, I would have. But I didn't know the circumstances he was dealing with Syracuse University and dealing with Darryl Gross and dealing with Nancy Cantor and the things he may or may not have been promised that weren't fulfilled and things of that nature. So Doug did the best thing that was the best interest for himself. Syracuse fans will go out there and be upset and be mad. The players will go out there and be upset and be mad. But you know what? But at the end of the day, you have to look at yourself as a man in the mirror. And Doug did the best thing possibly for Doug Marone, and I can respect that.
And, you know, for Coach Marone, I mean, when we talked at the beginning of the season, we talked about body language, you know, and things that I saw and that, you knowing him personally, that you saw, that there was not so much a fear, but at least a speculation on his part that his job could be in trouble at the beginning of the season. He goes from that scenario that we both thought he was in to a scenario where instead of Syracuse having him, he had them at the end of the day and decided to move forward. You know, from the beginning of the season to now, what can you say about that, that everybody was worried about his job and now he's gone?
You know, it's just like no one likes to live their life like a yo-yo or like a roller coaster, I should say. You know, at the beginning of the year, he could possibly have been fired. We were talking about things as far as them starting off, getting off to a bad start and him possibly being fired and things of that nature. At least he went to something that's more secure right now in his eyes. You know, and not to sit here and second guess Darryl Gross, but if I was an athletic director at the point where, you know, teams, I had heard rumblings and rumors that teams were trying to sign him or teams were interviewing him and things of that nature, I would at least approach him as a man and made an offer to him to try and keep him there. They did nothing like that. It's about respect at some point. You know, Doug's been a great offensive coordinator for several years in the NFL, and it's about just being treated with respect. He probably would have taken less money, but if Syracuse would have approached him and made him an offer, they never did. So I fault Syracuse just as much as I do. I don't really fault Doug, but I fault Syracuse for this whole situation.
Not hearing that Dr. Gross had put anything out there and made another counter offer, you know, and a lot of fans calling for that appreciate Doug Marone. When you know that the team, 50% of the time that Marone's here, is going to a bowl, they've won both of their bowl games, they're just coming off a win in the New Era Pinstripe Bowl again. Were you surprised that Dr. Gross never came out, made any statement, made any push to keep him?
No comment. Honestly, it's just, like I said about Doug, I can't get into the head of Dr. Gross. You know, he's his own man, he's his own individual. All I can know is just like take a step back and just, you know, kind of speculate what I thought happened with him. And just sometimes, just like, here's the thing. Syracuse is a small town, small knit community. You know what? We work hard. We do the best things we can do to like put ourselves in a position to be successful. We're not Hollywood. We're not California. We're not Bright Lights, Big City. You know, and I think that me personally, that's what Darryl Gross tried to turn Syracuse into. And that's not us. We're the coal miners that go out there and just try and get the job done from behind the scenes. He wanted to put us in front of the scenes, and that's just not us. He's got to wake up and understand the vibe of this community, the feelings of this community, and you know, just a coach like Doug Marone, a former player, one of our own, who comes back and tries to put this city, this university, this town back on the map, wants to do it our way. He tries to change that, you know, and you know, you see the results.
After four seasons of him leaving and wanting to turn this program around from what Greg Robinson had done with the program, after four seasons, two bowls, two seasons at 8-5. Two winning seasons out of the four, and you really can't fault him for the first season when it came in. So when you look at everything that he's done and his bulk work within the 4 years, do you think he's done enough to help the team turn the corner?
I told you, after that Louisville game of last year, the team had turned around. It's just the whole mindset, the whole mentality, the whole makeup of just the organizational thinking of these players now, like they've turned it around. They're basically back on the same path as when I was there with Coach Mack to the Pasolini areas and things of that nature, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens now. You know, I hope that the new guy that comes in is going to have an understanding and a knowledge of Syracuse University, the football, and just not from the outside facade of it, but from the inner workings of it, from the town, you know, to the community, to, you know, to the university itself. And it's going to take some work.
Do you think that in knowing Syracuse University, knowing the town, knowing the community, knowing the team itself, and knowing the history, that it would make more sense to hire someone from within on Marone's staff?
I think it would make a lot more sense to hire someone from within. If you hire somebody from the outside looking in, they're on the outside looking in. You know, and it's going to take a few more years of rebuilding and trying to establish what somebody implements when they get in here. Right now, they're in a winning mindset, a winning track. I mean, a winning mentality of being a good Syracuse University football team. You bring somebody from the outside, you know, who's outside looking in, and we're a step behind.
Who would you say out of everyone that's there? I mean, you have offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett, defensive coordinator Scott Schaefer, and you also have running backs coach Tyrone Wheatley, who's done a lot of good work, Rob Moore, wide receivers coach, who's a friend of yours, Greg Atkins, who's been involved in a lot of recruiting. He does the offensive line. Is there anybody that sticks out to you that would make sense?
No one really sticks out. I mean, if I had to say anyone out of that group that stuck out, I'd say Scott Schaefer. You know, he's the one. You know, he could step right in now and just, like, implement and basically go forward. No, really process the things that's going on right now. I mean, Scott Schaefer would be a great choice. Hackett would be a great choice. Rob Moore has many SU connections and do a lot of recruiting for Syracuse also. Wheatley's another one who did a great job with the running backs this year also. And all these guys are charismatic, you know, never been head coaches before, but great coaches, great personality guys, and can fit the Syracuse University football mode back to where it needs to be.
And do you see any of these guys, you know, your initial feeling that any of the guys that I named would not be here?
I think if Doug goes, well, Doug's going, so I think Doug's going to possibly try and take them to Buffalo with him because they're good guys, they're all good stand-up guys, and they're all winners, and they're all good at what they do. You know, but knowing Daryl Gross and knowing what I've seen for the past years going through the Greg Robinson era and with Doug, you know, instead of hiring somebody from the inside in and giving them a start just to prove their point, he's going to go for a big sexy name, and it's not going to work.
One of the names that comes up, and to me, because I covered this story and, you know, really went in depth on the sanctions when this happened on my show and looking at, you know, what a team would have to do and what they would take on, basically the sins of the past they would inherit if they inherited this man, Jim Tressel. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see a guy like Jim Tressel come onto this team knowing that the NCAA has such a critical eye, and they should, on what he's been doing?
You know what? At the end of the day, I look at Tressel, and Tressel was, you know what? What did he do? Honestly, you look at the scheme and say, what did Tressel do? He lied? All right, he lied to do what? It wasn't lied to trying to get over or trying to get an advantage with someone. He lied for his kids. You know, and I can respect that from a man. You know, as playing Division I college football, you know what? Those are young adolescents. They're going to go out there and they're going to make mistakes, you know? But you can't punish them and beat them up for it. You know, what are we teaching these kids? The NCAA goes out there and makes billions of dollars off these athletes and basically tell these athletes, you can do nothing. You know, you're a slave. You can do absolutely nothing. We're going to pay you as we see fit. You know, granted, we can sit here and make millions and millions and millions of dollars off of you, but we're going to give you, you know, a $200,000 scholarship, and you should like that and be happy with that. Are you kidding me? No, really? It's saying Tressel did nothing. You know, I have the most respect and the most admiration for Jim Tressel because of the person he is. Hell with the coaching part of it. Just the aspect of how he is as a human being and just being kind to his players, you know, and that's what players look for. As far as Jim Tressel coming here, I think that would be a great institutional thing for Jim Tressel to come here. It's, you know, he's a player's coach. I mean, and players understand that and players believe in him. That's why he did so well at Ohio State. Ohio State went, what, 12-0 this past year. Which team is that? It's Tressel's team. That's the team he recruited. That's the team he had come there. You know, so he's one heck of a college football coach, and I would have no problem and no qualm about Jim Tressel coming here and taking over the Syracuse University football team.
Would there be somebody else besides Jim Tressel from the outside that comes to mind for you that sticks out that you would like to see?
There's quite a few names out there, but there's no one. I think they should hire from within internally. I think they should give a new name, a new voice, a shot. I'm so tired of seeing all these recycled coaches go out there, you know, and just be like Andy Reid. You know, I love him and respect him and adore him to death for being an Eagles coach for so many years, but he gets a job in KC immediately. It's like, you know, there's some new, young, hungry, talented young coordinators and, you know, out there that maybe coaching high school right now, maybe coaching college right now, that deserve a chance. Give these young guys a chance, you know, and let's take this game of football to the next level. These old school coaches, you know, they're fading out. I'm not saying you guys are doing a great job, but give this young blood a chance. You know, and that's all I'm saying.
Because when you look at, and you brought it up with Andy Reid, that, you know, Andy Reid, Lovie Smith, there's a lot of guys, Ken Wisenhunt, you know, there's a lot of guys that they've proven that in the here and now they can't get it done.
Yeah, no, they cannot.
And yet it seems like we're playing musical chairs with these coaches, and with Andy Reid not being able to take talent, not the same heightened talent that he had before, but to take talent that on paper and money-wise was supposed to be good talent and couldn't get the job done with them, then to go to a place like Kansas City that perpetually, outside of one season really, in the 21st century, has not been a competitor, has not been close to being a competitor, and now you have Peyton Manning on the Broncos. When you bring a guy like Andy Reid to the Chiefs, it's kind of just, what do you expect from him? Because this is a team that's going to take a lot of time to get going, and I don't think Andy Reid wants to spend 10 more years in the NFL.
Yeah, and Andy Reid's going to be at Kansas City for 3 years. 3 years tops. I mean, you heard it from me right now. There's no way. KC has no quarterback. They probably have one or two star players that are possibly going to make that team well. It's a rebuilding team. But here's the thing. Give a new guy a chance for the rebuilding team. Give a fresh, you know, fresh ideas, fresh thoughts, fresh, you know, just something that's different. We know what we're going to get from Andy Reid. Pass, run every now and there, screens here and there. We know what we got with Andy Reid. You know, so give a new guy a chance to go out there and be innovative and go out there and put his, you know, his staple or his mark on this game of football. But for some reason, these coaches or these owners just seem to don't do that. They seem to, like you said, recycle and hire these former old coaches who are in their 60s and 70s. It's just the game's passed them by. The game's changing. Give new blood of talent. Andy Reid will not be successful in Kansas City. Not a chance.
More often than not, college coaches not finding a lot of success in the NFL. But the exception to the rule has been San Francisco 49ers' Jim Harbaugh, who left Stanford and obviously has done what he's done in the last two seasons in San Francisco. Doug Marrone going from Syracuse now to the Buffalo Bills to an NFL team. I know that we don't know what it's going to be like because the decision's just been made, but from what you know about Doug and what you've seen from Doug, do you believe that he can be successful at that level?
I believe he can be successful at that level. Will he be successful with the Bills? No. I mean, all you have to do is just look at the history of the Bills. You know, the Bills are in a good organization from top to bottom. You know, it's just like, and as I said, I have no ties to Syracuse at all, so I can say what I want to say when I say as much as I want to say. No one can do anything to me. I'm my own business owner. But the thing is, though, Doug's a disciplinarian. He expects hard work. He expects, you know, you to get up in the morning, you know, put your legs on one leg, or your pants on one leg at a time, put your shoes on and come to work. These are professional athletes we're dealing with now. These are very high maintenance, you know, egotistical individuals. And what he got from, well, he's dealt with them before, being an office coordinator, but now he's a head coach, you know. And Coach Mack used to say, I can't say it on the radio, but, you know, something runs downhill. And, you know, and it's like if you go to the bathroom, one you're standing up, the other you're sitting down. It's the one where you're sitting down. And we always thought about that, and he's absolutely right, you know, and it starts with the head man. So anything that happens now in the organization at Buffalo is going to fall on him. And it's just going to be a tough sell in Buffalo. You know, over the years, you just watch the Buffalo Bills, and being so close here in Syracuse, we just see they're an average at best organization from top to bottom, and you can't win like that. Now, if you had told me the same thing about the New England Patriots, if Coach Marrone had went to New England Patriots, I would say he's going to absolutely be successful because from top to bottom, that's a, you know, prestige, well-run, great organization. It's like almost trying to index between the organizations or the businesses of Facebook, Microsoft, or Apple as opposed to like smaller type businesses. You know, the top tier businesses always do well, and you can see it with a professional professional football also. Like a team like the Cowboys. I'm surprised the Cowboys aren't much better because the way they're run as an organization is very efficient. But the simple fact that, you know, that their owner tries to be a player and coach also is their problem. If Jerry Jones would ever just take a step back, that organization could be unbelievable. But he doesn't. But I'm just trying to give hindsight of how organizations should be run. And the Buffalo Bills as an organization is not run like that. So I think Doug's going to regret it. I'm happy for him, but I think he's going to struggle.
Do you think that the selling point for Doug Marrone to go to Buffalo could be in the sense of Syracuse with what they were, kind of like the Buffalo Bills, a down-and-out team? Paul Pasqualoni had left after 6-6 seasons. So then you go to Greg Robinson and you get one win, maybe three, maybe four, and then all of a sudden Coach Marrone comes in and starts to turn the program around. Do you think that maybe that's the mentality of, here's another upstate New York team, yeah, it's in the NFL, but we need to turn around and we're in this kind of mediocre, below 500 type of team?
I mean, I'm not blind or deaf or anything, but I mean, I've heard rumblings and rumors about things going on in the community because I know so many people here. And what I understand from what I've come to understand and what I knew about Doug was Doug's pretty honorable to his coaches. You know, just like Coach Mack was. When Coach Mack left to go to the New England Patriots, just like he was at a simple fact, it's like, you know what, my coaches, you know, like, you know, as if they're equal with me. Whereas some coaches, like the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, I guess is getting paid somewhere upwards of $700,000-$800,000 a year. Whereas Syracuse University coaches get paid, you know, I mean, $100,000-$150,000 a year. It's like, you know, put them in the same, you know, show them that you have, we have respect for them by offering them more. Yes, I know we're not, you know, a state school. We don't get that state funding and everything. But Syracuse, at $53,000 a year, can afford to, you know, put these coaches on here that they can fill the dome, you know, and fill that stadium. So I think Doug is pretty honorable to his coaches, and I think he more so did it for the simple fact of give his coaches a chance also. Whereas, like, you know, all right, if you're an office coordinator and you only make $150,000 a year, you can go to some school like UConn and you can be office coordinator and make like $400,000, $500,000 a year. Yes, it shouldn't be about the money, but at the end of the day, it is about the money because you have to take care of your family and you yourself first. So I have a lot of respect from that standpoint. You know, it's rumors and everything I've heard, but I know him. I understand the game of football, and I understand, you know, it's just he wants to put those guys in a position to be successful themselves.
When you look at what he's done with the offense here and finding that balance passing and running, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who signed an extension recently at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, C.J. Spiller, and also Fred Jackson on the ground, and then you look at a guy like Stevie Johnson out there at wide receiver, their number one target, and David Nelson and the usual suspects kind of filling out the rest of those spots as far as wide receivers go that change every season. Talent-wise, do you feel like he has enough to get started with, or is this the Doug Marrone of get in there as soon as you can and get ready for that draft?
Get in there as soon as you can and get ready for that draft. I mean, just as I said before, just look at the Bills and just look at the organization from top to bottom for the past 20 years. With the exception of them going to the Super Bowl, you know, in the 80s, four years in a row, you know, what have they done? They've done absolutely nothing from top to bottom, from their draft picks to signing Mario Williams, who did absolutely nothing this year. You know, what we talked about before, got the big contract and just disappeared.
He helped out Houston.
You know, so, you know, C.J. Spiller, you know, he's a good back. He's got someone good to build around, but it's Buffalo. You know, they have their internal problems. They have their organizational problems. They have their, you know, locality problems as far as being located in Buffalo. They're going to be a problem from here on out, you know, so it's something he's going to have to deal with, and Buffalo will not be a successful team. Nothing against Buffalo, but it's just, you know, you look at the organization from top to bottom. I hope Doug does well, and I hope he can get some wins out of them, but they're not a playoff caliber champion-type team. You know, they still have to deal with, you know, the Patriots. You know, they still have to deal with the Jets, who have their own problems, but the Jets are better than them. You know, and they still have to deal with the Miami Dolphins, who are getting better also. So it's a problem that internally is infested, and I'm sorry, but, I mean, I love Doug to death, but he's going to have a tough time there.
And you look at the fact that the Doug had some experience with the Jets in the AFC East before he went over to be offensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints. But now seeing him as a head coach, knowing that he's going to be going up against Rex Ryan, as long as that job, you know, is still Rex Ryan's, and it looks like it is with Tannenbaum being fired. But with Rex Ryan being there and Bill Belichick being there now, I mean, a guy like Doug Marrone, do you think at a head coach position that he can eventually outsmart these guys?
Time will tell. You know, and it's just like, I mean, Belichick's a master of his trade. You know, it's going to be interesting. Being a head coach of an NFL team, I mean, I don't feel for those guys. It's just something that I wouldn't say I would never want to do, but it takes a complexity of understanding not just the game of football, but understanding individual, understanding men, understanding how to deal with the community, understanding how to deal with the fans. You have to just deal with so much. As I said before, Coach Matthews always tells us a certain thing runs downhill, you know, and then when anything happens, anything goes wrong, you got to look at yourself. You can't sit there and point fingers as a coach. It's a fine line. It's just something I wouldn't want to deal with. But if I was putting an organization that was structurally run well, an organization like I'll use as a Patriots as an example. What a great situation. Any coach that takes over the Patriots from top to bottom has a great structure, a great outline to start with, and that's an organization you really want to be around. It makes it that much easier. But the Buffalo Bills are just in turmoil right now from top to bottom. It's going to be a tough sell for him.
And when you see him, you know, on the Buffalo Bills and you see him, you know, rising to this level, did you feel that this could be a possibility for him, knowing him and knowing when he came back here? You know, you bring back Syracuse homegrown talent. This is a guy who loves Northeast football, very upset about the Big East changing. And so he comes back to Syracuse and he builds a brand of football back with Syracuse University. Did you ever think that this was going to lead to him being a head coach in the NFL?
You know, I didn't look at it that like in that big of a picture, but I knew it was a possibility. But it goes to say, here's somebody who bled orange, who played for the orange, who loved this university, who loved this city, loved everything about it, but he left. There's a reason he left. Look at the bigger reason that he left. Everyone's all so up in arms now about, you know, how could he leave us, our team, yada, yada, yada. It's like I said, when I left Toronto in 1997 to sign with the BC Lions, I would have stayed with Toronto for less money, but Toronto didn't show me respect. You know, it was a simple fact. I mean, like, here, BC gave me this great contract offer, all this money, everything of this nature, and I looked at Toronto. I was like, you know what? You don't have to match it, but just come somewhere close to where I can be, like, you know, feel honorable about myself, being able to give me a reason to stay here in Toronto. They did nothing of the sort, so I left. You know, did I want to leave? No, I did not. But, you know, they forced my hand. Same situation with Doug Marrone. I'm thinking Syracuse would have came with something that even typically could have matched, or it just somehow come close to what Buffalo was giving him. He would have stayed, but he didn't. I told you, I fought Syracuse for this.
So now Syracuse has to look forward. How important is it for them, how important is it for Dr. Gross, mm-hmm. to come out and immediately have a reaction, immediately have a list of coaches that they're going to, or at least have names out there? Because if they don't, is the mentality, you know, of them not coming out and saying something right away, does that show that they weren't prepared, and obviously show the community that, you know, there's a reason to be scared? I mean, there's a lot that can come from what's coming from this. As you said, stuff runs downhill. Mm-hmm. Well, the decision by Marrone's been made, mm-hmm. and what does Dr. Gross have to do to kind of keep this community in a positive light?
You know what? Unless they hire from within, we've taken 2-3 steps back. I'll tell you that now, but I mean, I know Gross. I know his character. I know his type. I know the type of personality he is. He's one of those, you know, just like those have to be at the front of the line guys where it's like, you know, he likes a sexy hire. He likes the big name coaches, and it doesn't always work well. It's like I said, you can go up, if you're going to go up to a sexy hire, a big name, go after Jim Tressel, because Tressel's a player's coach, you know, and he's good at what he does, you know, and people like him. Yes, the old NCAA sanctions, things of that nature, I understand that, but you know what? The reasons he did it for were for his players. It wasn't for his own personal gain. You know, he did it to protect his players, and I can respect that, you know, because I know what players go through on the NCAA level playing Division I football, because I was one myself. You know, and there were a lot of things that we did as athletes that we could have gotten in trouble for, but, you know, we tallied it back some, because Coach Mack was the same type of player. He was a player's coach. You know, so right now Gross has he should have been in the media already, him to saying, he's like, you know, we're in the process now looking for another coach, you know, things of that nature. But interview the guys that are there now, because they understand the situation of what it took from being so bad to turning it around in 4 years now. Now we're on the right track. Don't derail that track right now. But I have a feeling that's what Gross is going to do, because he's good at that.
One guy that I think about when all these names come up, and I hear about, you know, coordinators from USC and this guy from Oregon and this guy from FIU and this, that, and the other thing, and all these names start to surface. One name that stuck out to me is a guy who isn't a coach, but he's already connected to Syracuse. He loves Syracuse. He's a great community man. He has a bunch of accolades. He's in the Professional Football Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame, and the man commands people to listen when he speaks, no matter how soft he speaks, and that's Floyd Little.
I've thought about that also. I mean, that'd be a great, great transition, but you know, you would have to ask Floyd. Is like, would Floyd want to coach? You know, because I know Floyd very well. He's a good friend of mine. You know, it's just that it'd be a task to take on, but it'd be something that'd be very, very interesting, because, you know, we're in a process right now at the university where you need to keep this on the same track. Just keep it rolling smoothly. You hired from an outside guy to come in and do this new thing. Now it's something new. It's a new era. His new style of coaching, the new coaches he would bring in, and it's just gonna make everything a cluster.
And it's crazy to think of this, because here's a team that everybody was hoping would turn around. Yeah. And now people seem to have be comfortable enough with 2-8-5s, 2 pinstripe ball wins. The fans have been quiet. Mm-hmm. They've been appreciative. And now here's the change. Syracuse went down the wrong path for a long time. Turning on the right path now, if they don't hire from within, do you think that this is going to be? I mean, you said take 2-3 steps back, you know, Dr. Gross, if he doesn't do that. But how much in trouble is this team if they don't hire from within and don't have something that looks similar as they move forward?
Remember, we're going to the ACC next year. Very, very powerful, very strong conference. You know, you don't want to be the doormat for the ACC for years to come to try and rebuild the team. If they don't hire from within going into the ACC, we're in a lot of trouble, because it's going to be a new format, a new, you know, a new attitude, a new style going to the ACC, and these teams are good. You know, but I know Gross. He's going to go for the sexy hire. He's all Hollywood. He's all flash and always got to be the center of attention. So he's going to go after, you know, a sexy hire coach. It's not going to be able to get it done, and we're going to be the doormat to the ACC for some time to come. And then Syracuse football will take us to take a steps back to where we were, you know, when Robinson was here. You know, and that's what I don't want to see. It's like, you know what? I'd rather him hire from within, give a new coach, a coach that's currently on the staff, a fighting chance, and just give us a chance to be able to go out there and just possibly be successful.
And how bittersweet is this that Coach Marrone does all these positive things now, but now he's gone, and as the team is starting to turn around, which so many people have waited for, that, you know, now that the team has started to move in the right direction, now somebody else is going to have to take command of the team. How bittersweet is that, that it seems like fans have been waiting for a long time, and now you don't really know what's going
to
happen?
You know what, honestly, as I said before, Doug Marrone, if he had gotten the right offer, an offer that was even comparable to even half of what Buffalo was giving him, he would have stayed. There's a reason he left. You know, don't look at Doug Marrone for the reason he left. Look at Darryl Gross.
Recruiting-wise, when somebody makes a commitment to a coaching staff, there can be, obviously, that issue. There's already been guys that have come out that have made statements that they're going to look elsewhere. They're opening themselves back up again. With all these recruits and what Doug Marrone has been starting to do in the right direction and bringing in all these guys, and I've seen it, you know, with the work that Doug has done and that the staff and Coach Adkins have done to bring in the right guys, and obviously Nathaniel Hackett, it has brought about a lot of positives on the offensive side. When you see these guys that now aren't here yet, but have verbally committed, and obviously signing day is in February, so that hasn't happened yet. How much in danger is Syracuse of losing these guys?
Well, you know, as I said before, even from hiring internally, a lot of the coaching staff does the recruiting. So these kids, yes, they would have came here for Doug Marrone, but they came here for like a Rob Moore, you know, or a Tyrone Wheatley, you know, or Scott Schaefer. These are the guys that are going out doing the recruiting. These are the guys that are going to the homes of these players and meeting these players. So these players are more attached to them than they are Doug Marrone. Doug would have been, you know, the key to the cog, but, you know, these kids are attached to these coaches. So that's why I say hire from within. So now if I was Rob Moore and I was out there recruiting all these kids, now all of a sudden I became the head coach of Syracuse University, that'd make me more excited to even come here. So now I'm going around telling my former team, my teammates who possibly want to get recruited next year, it's like, you know, yes, Coach Moore is the coach of this team, you know, come to Syracuse, he's a great guy, he came to my home, he recruited, you know, so it's that's why I say hire from within, you know, because you keep the continuity when you hire from within. You hire from without, now it's a new dynamics, a new makeup, it's just too much newness, and players don't like that.
So you think that even with Coach Marrone leaving, if they're able to keep the staff intact as best they can, then recruiting-wise, you feel that, you know, this won't be too much of a loss?
If they keep the staff intact that we have now, I mean, we'll just keep skipping to the same beat. You know, I mean, like, yes, it'll be a bump in the road, but that's all, it's just a bump in the road. The road's still there, but we'll be just fine. They hire from outside in, not only are we going to hit that bump in the road, we're going to get an entirely different new path, and that's going to be trouble.
Well, as always, Rob Drummond, obviously there's going to be a lot to say in the coming days here, so we might have to do back on the field a little bit more often now. But I appreciate it, as always, you coming on the show.
All right, thanks, Dan.